Everybody wanna be like you, they want power and praise like you, but Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's no one like the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Now, guess what? These phone lines should be lit up because everybody has a testimony. If you are alive and breathing, you are this side of the ground, you have a testimony. Hallelujah. May not feel like a testimony, may not even want to give a testimony, but glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of you know last week I went to a memorial service for a woman that's the same age as me? Hallelujah. I have a testimony because I'm still here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I know you have a testimony too. Hallelujah. That's why I was playing these songs. Hallelujah. Because I know we all have a testimony. I want to find that song, I Have a Testimony, but I can't find it right now. But anyway, Jesus is Lord. So what we want to do is we want to just talk a little bit about what God has done for us, not just for ourselves, but for somebody else. Maybe somebody else might need to hear a testimony. So if you know somebody who needs to hear a testimony, or if you know somebody that has a testimony, ask them to call in. Area code 323-693-3054 and press that 1 so we can get them on the air. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you can't say nothing but thank you, God, for another day. Hey, guess what? That's giving him praise. Hallelujah. And it might encourage somebody else to say, God, I just want to thank you because I thought about it. You know, I thought about my life. I thought about the things that I've been through. I thought about how you brought me through. I thought about how it looked like it wasn't going to be this and it wasn't going to be that, but you made a way out of no way. I thank you how my body was messed up, Lord, but you healed my body anyway. You allow me to get up again another day, even though it might have been pain. It might have been, you know, not feeling the very best, but you still gave me life and you gave me breath to get up another day. Hallelujah. I may not have all the money in the bank I want to have in the bank, but God, you still supplied all my needs. Hallelujah. I don't know how you did it, but you did it anyway. Hallelujah. I mean, see, when we begin to sit back and think about what God has done, when we just begin to say things out of our mouths about what God has done, he begins to bring it back to our memory, the things that he has done for us, some of the things that we've, you know, forgotten about, or some things we might not have even said thank you for. Lord, I thank you for my children. I thank you that my children are safe and sound. I thank you, Lord God, that no hurt, harm, or danger came nigh my children. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that my grandchildren are healed and saved, Lord. I thank you, Lord God. I mean, when you just begin to think about it, you're not in the street. Hallelujah. You're in your right mind, I hope. Hallelujah. Anyway, glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo, to some, you might not appear to be in your right mind, but you know you're in your right mind. It's okay. It's all good. Hallelujah. Because guess what? You could be outside out there on the street somewhere talking to yourself, you know, just doing crazy things like some people are out there doing. But guess what? You're in your right mind. Hallelujah. You have the activities of your limbs. You might not be able to run and jump like you want to, but you still have activities of your limbs. Somebody else might not even have as much mobility as you have, but you have what you have. Hallelujah. And what we have, we ought to be grateful for. Hallelujah. We complain so much about stuff. We talk about what we don't have, and we talk about what we want and how much better we want this and how much better we want that. But perhaps if we would just begin to open our mouths and tell God thank you for the things that he has given us. Hallelujah. Pastor Felicia, I don't see your number up on the board, but anyway, if we, you know, would begin to thank God for some of the things that he has given us, maybe it will open up room for him to give us some other things. Hallelujah. I don't know, but guess what? God has done so much for me. He's done so much for me from my childhood. He's just been there for me. He's blessed me. He's kept me. He's watched over me. He's protected me from the enemy. God has just been there. He's been a shield for me. God has just been there. I'm telling you, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. If it had not been for the Lord, and people say that a lot of time, and it sounds like a cliche, but if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't even know where I would be right now. I don't even know if I would be alive right now. I don't even know what state of mind I would be in right now if it had not been for the Lord on my side. I know that there's been times that I've had to cry out to God. I had to cry out to Almighty God for him to help me, and he's helped me. I had to cry out to him when it looked like it wasn't going to be right, And God stepped in right on time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We could just talk about my life and begin to just praise God for what he's done, for how he brought me through and through and through and through and through. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How he filled me with the Holy Ghost at a young age, because he knew I was going to need the Holy Ghost, because I was going to go crazy for a little while, and then he brought me back to him. So I thank him for that. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I know you people have a testimony. 267, I think that's my sister, 562-2444. Where your people at? Hallelujah. But guess what? I'm not waiting for chick nor child. Hallelujah. I have a testimony. Hallelujah. And I just gave it to you. Hallelujah. I gave it to you. Pastor Felicia, I don't know where you are. Guess 3017. If you have a testimony or a praise report, 323-693-3054 is the phone number for you to call in to get on the air. And I will get you on immediately. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But let's just go pray and ask God to just have his way. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for another episode of Out of a Pure Heart Ministry, Lord God. We thank you for bringing us together again, Lord God. Hallelujah. To be able to say thank you, Lord God. We just thank you tonight. We glorify you and lift you up. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that if we've said, done, or omitted to do anything that you have instructed us to do, Father, we ask you to forgive us for every sin, every thought, every word, every action, oh God, that was not of you. We ask your forgiveness, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you will accept our prayer on tonight. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will accept our praise tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Father, because we don't want to offer up strange fire to you. We don't want to offer up strange praise to you, Lord God, but we just want to thank you. We just want to glorify you, Lord God. We want to magnify you. We want to lift you up. We want to lift up Jesus, for your word says, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And we know that Jesus was lifted up on the cross, hallelujah, for all men to see. But, Father, we just lift up the name of Jesus tonight. We lift up you, Father God, for being our Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus even to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I know I do, Lord. I got so much to be thankful for. Glory to God. You saved my soul, Lord God. You gave me life everlasting, Lord God. You gave me a new mind, Lord God. You gave me a hallelujah, a new heart. And I thank you for that, Lord God. I bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I just praise you tonight. Have your way, Father God. Let someone tonight, Lord God, be saved and set free, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Let someone be delivered from strongholds, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Let someone come forth, oh, God, and hallelujah, just look at you, Father God, as their healer and their deliverer, Lord God, as their fortress, oh, God, in you that they can trust. Father, I thank you for it tonight, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for every person listening live, every person in the archives. Father, I thank you and praise you for it right now. I give you glory, Lord God, for you are truly worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. Father, my soul says thank you. Hallelujah. Father, I give you praise because you are worthy. Hallelujah, God. You are worthy of the praise, Almighty God. Hallelujah. My soul says thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I even thank you for giving me a breath, giving me a voice to even to be able to say thank you, Lord God. I thank you for that so much. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we just thank you. I ask your Holy Spirit to come into this broadcast with us tonight. Have your way, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and give you praise for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, I just want to play this one more song for y'all right now because I just want to play it.
All right, everybody, do me a favor. Put your hands together just like this.
Nobody likes you, Lord.
What y'all doing over there? came back.
Woo! Nobody like Jesus, Pastor Felicia.
Amen. Amen. Nobody. Hallelujah.
I'm over here having myself a good time. Because there's nobody like Jesus. I'm trying to tell you, there's nobody like Jesus. I don't know, honey. I don't know. I don't know what to say. There's nobody like Jesus.
Nobody.
You got testimony, Pastor Felicia.
Amen, always. Amen. I thank God for just the little things that he does. I know everything, you know, little is big when it comes to God, but, you know, sometimes we take some things for granted. But I just thank God for all that he has brought me through. I thank God for life, health, and strength, of course. Amen. I thank God for bringing me out of molestation, for bringing me through being gang raped, bringing me out of a bad relationship. You know, there are times when I thought about and I actually tried to commit suicide, but God, amen, he had another plan for me. And so I just thank God for his love, for his mercy, for his grace that he shows towards me every day. Amen, even when I'm not doing my quote-unquote best, amen, he still keeps me. And I just thank God for his forgiveness. I thank God for the blood that he shed on Calvary. I thank God for sending his son Jesus, you know, that died for me, that shed his innocent blood. He who knew no sin shed his blood for me, my Lord, for little old me. And I just thank God for my children. I thank God for, it's just so much to thank God for, amen.
So much to thank God for. So much
I can't
to
thank God for. You know, but I just thank God for all the little big word, amen. All that he does in my life and in those around me. Amen. I just thank God for what he is doing in this season and in this hour amongst his people. Amen. And I thank God for those who are coming soon into the body of Christ.
Amen. And if you don't mind, I want to ask you something because you said you wanted to thank God for bringing you through gang rape. And I just want to ask you about that because those of you who know my testimony, I was raped myself, but it was not gang rape. But how did God actually bring you through that? Because the reason why I'm saying this is because I don't know who may be listening, who may need to hear this, but I know that it took me years for God to heal me from this rape that I went through. It was horrific. But, like, what after you got gang raped, like, did you hate God? Did you turn away from God? Or did you even know God at the time?
At the time, no, I wasn't saved. I didn't know God. I knew of him, but I didn't know him personally. And I wasn't angry at him, but I thought there was something wrong with me because, first of all, you know, growing up, I was molested by my uncles, not one uncle, but two uncles, and sometimes that they would molest me at the same time. And this happened for a period of, like, 6 years. And then, so every relationship, I've been in abusive relationships, and then there's this one guy that I thought at that time he was the one. But he pulled me into a situation where there was a room where there were multiple men, and they, you know, they all had their, you know, their turn with me, amen. But I was very, very depressed after that. I blamed myself because I was drinking. I was drunk at the time, and, you know, I was dressed provocatively, and I thought, you know, I kept thinking, you know, how could I change things, you know, if I wouldn't have dressed this way, if I wouldn't have been drunk, or I don't know. It really put a damper on my self-esteem. I hated myself. I felt nasty. I felt very degraded, you know. At that point, I think that's when, you know, I became very suicidal. I didn't even want to live anymore. Because even in the midst of that, I ended up having a child out of that. And, you know, I could say to that, you know, raise them with no animosity, no hate. He's my baby boy, and I love him to death. He knows about it. But I just thank God for bringing me through that. Had I killed myself, had I had an abortion, had I, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I don't know. It took a long time to, and I'm still healing from the molestation and the rape and all that because I blame myself. I blame, you know, I always say, what's wrong with me? Why do guys see me as just a piece of meat or, you know, some, you know, that's what was going on in my mind. There was a period of time where I never looked in the mirror because I hated myself so bad. I hated the way I looked. At that point, also, I'm jumping around a little bit. You know, I used to dress very skimpy, and then after that happened, I started wearing very baggy clothes, and, you know, I didn't want to come out the house. I was scared to go places. If I walked down the street and a guy was coming my way, I would cross the street. I hated men at that point, so to speak. I wasn't gay, but I hated men. You know, I didn't trust them. But, you know, he brought me out. You know, the more I share my testimony, the more it helps, you know, to help somebody else. It helps me. I don't know. It helps me. I don't know. It just helps. I don't want to see nobody else go through that pain, that despair, that darkness, that depression, you know, that you go through during that time. So I don't know if I answered your question, but.
So when did you feel like, you know, you, God started the process of healing? Because you said he's still healing you, so. I mean, he brought you through that horrific thing, and I know you thank God for that. But when do you know that he began to heal you or he started the healing process?
It started about 5 years ago. I had got saved shortly after that. And even in the body of Christ, you have people that will try to take advantage of you, I say. And, you know, I wanted help, but I didn't know how to get help. And then the people that I trusted for help, they tried to use it to their advantage, I said like that. But about 5 years ago, I met this one pastor in Columbus. And, you know, she shared her testimony, and it really blessed me. You know, she was preaching a message, and that message was just for me. And I went and told her. I hesitated at first because I was scared, but I went ahead and I went and shared with her, you know, that, you know, about her message and how it blessed me, and she began to share with me, you know, Felicia, you have to, you know, begin to share. Don't hide it. The enemy wants you to keep it held up and bottled in and stuff like that. So she, you know, helped me through the process of being able to even share it, to begin to open up. And once I did, once I was able to get it out, to begin to share, I found out that there were many others like me that have been, you know, abused and raped. Because I thought I was, like, the only person, as weird as that seems. But and as other people began to share their testimony, that's where the healing process began. You know, we began to cry and, you know.
Have you forgiven your abusers?
Yes. Now, the forgiveness didn't come until about 2 years ago. There was a point where my uncle had got saved. And I was so angry, just like you saw that movie, any of you ever saw that movie, T.D. Jakes' movie, when she saw her abuser got saved and she killed them, whatever, in the church. That's how I felt. I didn't understand, you know, at the time, but I was angry. I'm like, how can he get saved? He never apologized. He never said, I'm sorry, you know. So that process, it was a hard one for me at first, but I was able to forgive him. I began, you know, going to begin receiving spiritual counseling. And so, you know, I was able, at first I wrote letters, but I didn't send them, you know. And I would pray every night. My prayer would be, I didn't forgive him in my heart, you know, per se, but I would be like, I forgive him by faith, like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to forgive him by faith, and that's how I did that. You know, that's how that process began, the forgiveness. And now I can honestly say that I can be around them and not hold any grudges. Because I even found out, even through the forgiving process, I wasn't even only angry at them, like my uncles. I was angry at my father. You know, my father wasn't there. You know, I felt like if he had been there, then it wouldn't have happened. When I felt like if he was there, then I wouldn't have been out kicking it or drinking and dressing provocatively. You know, I wouldn't have got gang raped. I blame my father for a lot of stuff that has happened in my life. I blamed him for, you know, if he was a father, if he was there, then I wouldn't have got in a bad marriage. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
And did he know that you blamed him for all of that?
I didn't know at the time until later, until after I started receiving the spiritual counseling, after I started writing the letters, you know, that's when I began to notice that I was also angry at my father for a lot of things.
But yeah. You've forgiven him now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or
yes.
You've let that anger go.
Yeah. Yeah, I let it go. Yep.
Well, see, that's all of this is. I thank you for sharing that, because we did not know we were going to be doing this. This is really impromptu what we're doing right now. But I believe that if somebody is listening to this live, or somebody is going to listen to this in the archive, that it's going to help them, because, like you said, when you began to open up, then you realized that it was more people out there who were hurting, who had gone through the same thing that you went through. And sometimes, when you go through things like that, you feel like you are all alone. Sometimes you feel like there's nobody for you to talk to help you through that process. This is why I believe testimonies are, you know, good for people. Some people you have to be cautious with, you can't give your testimony to, but testimonies are good for people, because you don't really know who you're blessing, who you're helping to get through, because somebody could say, well, God, if God brought her through that, then he can bring me through it. You know, I'm listening to your testimony, and I'm thinking, wow, well, what I went through wasn't quite as bad as what she went through. It was bad for me. Yeah, it was bad for me, but it wasn't as bad as what you went through. You know, you went through the gang rape. You went through the molestation with your uncles and that, you know, sort of thing. But I wasn't gang raped, but it was still bad to me. But I don't have a problem telling my testimony. I don't have a problem letting people know, you know, what my part in it was, and, you know, what their part in it was. But what I do want people to know, that when you ask God to forgive you, when you repent of whatever it was, God will forgive you and God will heal you. When we begin to release our abusers and forgive them, God can work that healing process in us. He really can. And I'm telling you, whoever... Were you on the Jesus in the Morning this morning? Were you listening to that this morning?
No, I was running late.
Okay, because she had a lady on there this morning who was a victim of abuse, of domestic violence. And the lady was saying how her husband had abused her, and how she thanked God that she's still alive, because when he beat her, he detached the retinas in her eyes. And he, you know, kind of disfigured her and stuff like that. But she was saying how she thanked God that God still has her alive so that she can help other people. I just don't believe that we go through things just to be going through them. I believe that we go through things to help other people for whatever reason. I don't know why these things are set up the way they are, but a lot of people won't tell their story. A lot of people won't, because they don't like people to look at them in a bad light. And I tell you, when I went to the pastor that I was with, when I went to tell them about when I got raped, do you know what the first thing they said to me? Well, what did you do? I was like,
right.
huh?
What do you mean? This is why people don't like to tell their story, because the victim is looked at as a bad person. Well, you had to do something. Well, no, I didn't do anything. I went to that person in confidence for them to help me, because they were supposed to help me through my marriage, because I was going through a bad marriage at the time. And they took my weakness and everything that I told them, and they prayed on that. Okay, they knew I was in a vulnerable place, and they took advantage of that. And that's how I wound up in that situation. But I'm here to let you know that even through that, I went through, it was horrible. He bit my whole body up, and I went to another person in the church, and you know what they told me? Don't tell anybody. Huh?
Yeah.
So I had to deal with being raped. I had by a pastor. Okay, he was a pastor who I got raped by. Then I went to another pastor to tell them so I can get some help. They told me not to tell nobody. Don't go to the police. Don't tell your husband. Don't tell the church. Don't tell nobody. So I didn't. I went home looking out my windows because they kept threatening me, telling me, I know where you live. I'm going to come get you. I'm going to get your kids if you tell anybody. I went through all of that. I went through the suicide attempts. I went through the hate in myself. I went through the depression. I went through all of this craziness, going out being even more promiscuous now because, you know, I'm not worth anything. You know, nobody else cares about me. Why should I care about myself kind of thing? Okay, but he had to heal me. He had to deliver me from me because I was in a downward spiral. I would drink so I wouldn't have to think about what I went through. I was scared to tell my husband. And when I finally, you know, after this other pastor said, what did you do? Now you need to go tell your husband. I mean, no other counseling, no other help. You just need to go tell your husband because obviously you did something to cause this to happen. And I told my husband about it, and why did I do that? When I did that, that just opened up a whole nother, you know, Pandora's box, a whole nother thing. We were already having problems. So needless to say, we're not together anymore. But that relationship was toxic. But God delivered me anyway. And that's what my testimony is, that I am delivered. I'm still here. I didn't have to be here. I could have been the stuff that I tried to do to myself after that, I could have been dead. I could have been dead years ago. But God didn't allow it. God didn't allow it. And then when my ex-husband took my kids from me, I tried to kill myself then. God didn't allow it. He didn't allow it. He brought me through, and he brought me through, and I thank him for bringing me through because guess what? My testimony is helping other people. My testimony is helping other people, and I give God the glory because guess what? Pastor Felicia, there is nothing that I could have done to bring myself out of this. This is God. This is God's doing. That we're still in our right minds after what we went through? What? And able to tell people how we got over, glory to God. And I'm going to play that song for you, Shirley. I'm going to play that song for you because God did this. God did this, and I give him all the glory because every single thing that Satan meant for evil, God turned it around for my good. Everything. Everything. And I'm telling you, I'm not mad at God. I'm not mad. I'm not happy that I had to go through all of them situations. But I'm not mad at God. I thank him for delivering me and bringing me through. I really do. I really do. I really. Someone's on the line, area code 610, and they pressed the number 1. So let me see.
Hello.
Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. How are you?
I am so blessed. How are you?
I'm good. This is Tamika.
Hi, Tamika.
Hi, and I was calling in. I just wanted to share my testimony with those that may be listening, particularly young women. I am a mother of 6, and I had been married twice. I love the Lord with all of my heart, but I sure had a lot of hardships come my way. Some because of my own disobedience, some just because life happens. And if I'm allowed to, I like to just share and encourage someone.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Like I said, I had six kids, and I was married at the early age of 17 years old. I didn't really have a whole lot of support. You know, my mom and my grandma were definitely enough for the time, but I never wanted to listen. And so I got married. I began to have children, and my love for God began to diminish. The first time I was married, I actually went into Islam and went in full throttle. I started teaching Islam. I started doing things contrary to what I had been taught about God. After so many years, I came out of Islam and went back to Christ, but not totally. So I was in and out, and because that marriage failed, I was really bitter. But then I began to just try to do things my own way without God's help, and that is when my life really turned for the worse. I had child after child out of wedlock. I played the game of not knowing who my children's father was, blaming it on this guy, blaming it on that guy, trying to find love in anyone who would give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I sold drugs. I prostituted. I did any and everything I could to try to take care of me and my kids because I didn't trust God. I didn't want to trust God until things just totally took a turn for the worse. I mean, I never got locked up. I never was at a place where, you know, I felt suicidal or anything like that. But my life was just hopeless because I didn't have God. And a lot of people would come to me and say, you know, you really need God. You need to turn to him now. This is what you need to do. This is how you get there. But nobody provided points. You know, they were always coming from a judgmental place. And I didn't want to be judged.
Mm-hmm.
I brought my kids up in Christian school and really tried to get back into the swing of living a holy life before God, and it never worked. It was something missing. You know, I wanted to do it at first for the people. I wanted to show everybody, look, I'm not a mess anymore. I'm doing this thing on my own, and it still was not working. I really thank God for the ministry that I am in now because they never, ever let me go. They kept praying, and they kept encouraging me, you know, to come back and to do it right. And it was even a time when I thought I was back at a place in God where I needed to be, and I still wasn't because I didn't let go of that hurt. I didn't forgive myself. I didn't forgive other people that had hurt me. And I was just in a bondage mentally. And by being in a bondage mentally, it affected me physically.
Mm.
And so if there is anyone that is listening that feels like I just can't get back to the place that God wants me to be, I want them to know that you can get back. It doesn't happen overnight because the mess that we ourselves created did not happen overnight. It took time to create the mess. It's going to take time to get out, get to someone where you know the Spirit of God is operating in them. The same power that you need, God will give you that same power. He will give you that grace and that mercy to get back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do, you have to hold on to the ground that you gain and do not let it go, no matter what, because your life depends on it.
Yeah.
I could have so much to share, but I'll be on here forever.
Well, we're not going to stop you. You go keep right on as the Lord leads you to talk. Keep right on.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay then. Well, I went through abusive relationships. I shared this one thing where fear had begun to operate in my life. I had my first son, and I didn't know who his daddy was. You know, I picked and played, and it could have been anybody. And the guy, because he had a place to stay, you know, I said, oh, I'll stay with this man here, and I'll do everything that he wants me to do, and I'll have shelter for me and my son. Well, that became abusive, and he would beat on me, and he would degrade me, and I didn't have anywhere else to go, so I stayed. I share these things because I know I'm not the only one that has been through this. And a lot of times adults don't want to share with these young women what they've been through because of shame. But there is no shame in my game. I'm going to tell anybody and everybody that will listen about the love of God. God loved me through all of my wrongs, all of my confusion. He's never left. Every time I turned away, when I turned back, he was right there waiting. Somebody that represented the kingdom of God, always represented well, always said who God was, always loved on me. And that's what we need to do to our young people that may be going through, not even just young people, people, period, need to know that the love of God is real. You know, I look for love through men.
Mm-hmm.
I played so many games not knowing who I was. You have to get to know who you are. You have to fall in love with God and then fall in love with who you are. Because who you are now is not who God desires you to be in your sin or in your shame. But the Word of God says that nothing will separate us from the love of God. That is so real. That is so real. For those who may be going through something with their kids, I have now three adult children, three kids that are still in school. Two of them are in a state penitentiary. And I used to say, well, God, you know, why did they misbehave this way? I felt ashamed that people seen my kids go down the wrong path. We have to be careful what we allow around our children. We you know, may be caught up in a moment and think, well, nothing is going to affect them, but spirits definitely connect to those that are innocent. And I really believe that during the times of me hustling, being in different relationships, that those spirits connected themselves. I didn't know. You know, nobody told me about the spiritual dynamics of things. And so the very things and the very people that I hung around, my children begin to act those things out. So now I pray and I ask God, you know, to protect them where they are, but he certainly will reveal to you where different behaviors come from in our children.
Yes, ma'am.
Mhm. Mhm.
And, you know, it's nothing that we can do but repent and move on, but acknowledge those things that God shows us and begin to pray over them so that those chains can fall off, because they can fall off. If God could save someone like me, and I was horrible, 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 if he could save me and bring me back, and I'm not even saying that I have arrived to my fullest place in God, because I have not, he can do it for anybody.
Yes, ma'am.
He can do it for anybody. I mean, how bad do you want it? I mean, how bad do you want to be rid of all of the crazy stuff in your life? How bad do you want it? It has to be like that, like you're in a desert and you're panting for water and you're going to do anything that you can to find some water. That's how the water is the Word of God. I wouldn't open up my Bible because I didn't know how to really read it. At 17 years old, I just used to go to church and listen and say, okay, well, whatever. You have to start spending time with God. God will he already wants to commune with us. So when you spend time with him, he will begin to reveal things to you. He will begin to show you himself. And I had a moment with him where I said, let me ask you, God, I don't know what this word of God has said. I really can't comprehend. And that back then I had a King James Version. It was really hard. Well, as soon as I asked him, he immediately, I opened up the word of God, and it was like I was sitting in sitting inside of the Chronicles of Narnia or something. Like all the characters were popping out, and it was visuals for me. Yes, it was like, who are these people, and what is going on here? And I was literally at the place, wherever I opened up my Bible, I was right there. He made it that real for me.
Wow, amazing.
That real for me. So if he could do that for me, he could do it for anybody. Ask him about it. God's love is so, he wants to show himself to all those that need him to be shown. Even when my kids would doubt who God really was, I said, okay, God, now I done told them what you told me. Something got to give. He would show them immediately who he was and what he was capable of doing. God cannot fail, and he does not lie. His word is so true. So true. And anything that we go through, it is not just for us. It is for the next person that's going to need help on getting out of the ditch that they are in. Islam, I don't call out anybody else to call them down or belittle them, but I know who God is. I know what his word is. I'm telling you, I was covered up from head to toe where all you could see was my eyeballs, okay? God took me from that. He created, it was a situation that happened with one of my kids. And when I left Islam, about 9-10 girls left with me. So when God will use you however he needs to use you, because I had no idea. I mean, I still was hurt and confused, but when I left, they left too. Where is this God that you're searching for? Because we want to know him.
Yes.
God's going to use you anyway. So since I was there, he said, oh, I got some other people that need rescue. Go ahead in there and get them.
all right then.
And so, and I see these women often, and I'm telling you, there's nothing like the love of God. I love God with all of my heart. There is nothing more that I want to do but to serve him for the rest of my days, to share with anybody. I got enough stories that aren't just stories. They're real life experiences that I know someone can benefit from. I know that someone can benefit from. I've been raped. I've been played with. My emotions have been played with. You know what God said? You know, you my boo, and, you know, I'm going to be with you to the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I got caught up in that, and they were somebody else's boo. I shared boos. I found myself in so many situations that I know of somebody out there that needs rescuing.
Yes.
Even from the enemy will tell you lies, you're not good enough. You know, who's going to want you being where you have been? Well, God wants you, and he loves you so much that he hasn't allowed you to die. This one last thing I'm going to share, and I believe that God is asking me to share this. I was with a man one time in my early 20s, and I had a cousin, and he was like the kind of like the shepherd of the family. Like, y'all ain't talking to this guy, y'all ain't talking to that guy, and he used to make me sick. Because it was like, I'm going to do what I want to do. Stop showing up. Stop telling me who to sleep with. Stop, you know. But he wouldn't. And I thank God that he wouldn't. But I was with the mayor, and, you know, we were intimate. And while we were having sex, I seen the demon in him. And he said to me, you have no idea what I want to do to you.
Mm.
That right there scared me so bad. And I didn't know what to do. It was like, we're having sex. You done messed the whole thing up now. You know, what is going on here? And the demons begin to state, they begin to speak. They let me know what their intentions were. This man had AIDS.
Whoa.
He had AIDS. And a few of my family members knew this guy. I didn't know this guy. I was dipping and dabbing. You know, I didn't know anything about him. I just knew he was cute, and I'm going to get some of that because that's what I wanted. And just totally out of God's will, you will find yourself in places that can literally kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm at the clinic, you know, because I found out that he was HIV positive, and now I'm starting to see things that are different in this man. He looked different, and women are coming out of the woodwork. You with my man and such, and I'm just saying, like, oh, my God, what have I done? Well, I went to get checked, and they said, well, you know, you have to come back in 6 months. And I said, okay. And I never shared this with anybody. Anybody. This is my first time. So I went to get checked, and they said, you don't have anything. Come back another 6 months. You know, by that time, if you have anything, it'll definitely show up. So I went back the next 6 months, nothing. So I said, the lady said, well, you come back in a year. And I was saying, why do I have to come back in a year? Do I have it or don't I have it? Well, these things take time, you know. So now I'm just really going through it. And I went back in that year, and I didn't have it. I never contracted anything. Years down the line, I still went to get tested for HIV, and just to find out, you know, maybe it might show up now because it's been some time. God spared me.
Hallelujah.
He spared my life.
Jesus.
You cannot just keep going out there having sex unknowingly. I never used protection. Well, sometimes I used protection. Sometimes I didn't. But that particular time, I did not. I was so trusting. I didn't know, you know, I might have had gonorrhea. I might have had chlamydia. You know, to me that was nothing. I can go get a shot for it. But to have that HIV, that was real. That was really real. You can't go get a shot in the butt for that one.
Okay.
You know, that's taking you out. And I remember the word clear. He said, you don't know what I want to do to you. But God wanted something else for me, and I really believe that he spared my life for such a time as this to share and let these girls know, and guys. It ain't just for the girls. It's for the guys, too.
Right.
I've been in adulterous relationships. I've been in lesbianism. I've done it all. There's nothing that God can't deliver you from. Cry out to him.
Yes.
Call out to him. Seek him while he may be found. It is not too late for you. It is not too late.
It is not too late.
He wants to do something, and whoever is listening, his life, that will turn your life around forever. He wants to sweep you off your feet and show you true love. He wants to guide you into a place of holiness. And you don't have to have it all together. He doesn't want you to have it all together instantly. He just wants you to make that turn.
Make that turn
and turn to him.
Uh-huh.
And he's waiting.
Yeah.
And he's cheering you on. He's like, I know you can do it. Come on, I'm waiting for you. You know, he's waiting. Step over the threshold into the kingdom of God. There's nothing that God won't do for you. I'm not going to say that everything's going to be easy. You're not going to have issues. Yes, you will still have issues. Yes, you may still have a light bill that might need to be paid. Call out to the one that can really help you, and he doesn't have any ulterior motives.
No ulterior motives.
Mm-mm. None. All he wants to bless your life. He wants to spare your life. And you got a whole team that's waiting. The angels are like, we know she could. God already knows the final outcome.
we just don't know how we're going to arrive. But we have to just step out on faith.
Yes, Lord.
If there's any older people that are listening that are ashamed of anything that you have been through, please stop being ashamed. Tell our young people. You know, they say, I can't believe I see this girl out there messing with all these men. Yeah, well, I did it. I did it. And God brought me out. Let's not hide behind the skeletons in our closet for shame when there are some... body out there that needs to know how you made it out.
Yes, how I got over.
Yes.
Whew.
So that is all I'm going to share now.
Well, guess what?
I thank you for...
I want you to stay in touch with me because we're going to be doing this often, but as you were talking, something came to my mind, so I want you to stay in contact with me because I need to talk to you as well as Pastor Felicia. Yeah, something is going to be coming up, so we need to get together and talk about it.
Sure.
But this testimony is, like, off the chain because
yes.
somebody is going to get delivered by this. I don't know.
Praise
somebody's
God.
Going to get delivered by this. And, you know, I'm going to make sure that after this broadcast is over that I post this again to my page, and I'm also going to post it to other pages. I really want people to hear this testimony because the things that you went through and God brought you through, you know, some of the things that you went through, I went through, Pastor Felicia went through, some people went through similar things and didn't make it,
mm-hmm.
okay? Some people didn't make it. I don't know why they didn't make it. I don't know why God chose us to make it through, but he did. And
yes.
guess what?
Thank you.
God's going to use our mouths to bring other people to deliverance. I believe that with my whole heart.
Yes.
There's people in the church hurting. People
yes.
in the church crying for shame because they don't know them. They don't know that God can really deliver them. They're scared to tell their story because people will look down on them. But here's a group of women right here that can
mm-hmm.
let you know that God brought us through. And we're not ashamed. The word of God
no.
says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We overcame that
yes.
stuff by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And by God, as long as I live, somebody going to hear my testimony.
I hear that.
In
yes.
the name of Jesus. I believe that. I just believe it so much in my soul. That God is just going to use these testimonies for people to be delivered. I know
yes.
God ain't crazy on no day of the week. He ain't never
been
crazy.
Right.
Okay, he ain't never been crazy. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he has set us up for such a time as this so his people can come out. Too many people walking around bent over in the spirit. Okay?
Yes.
Look nice on the outside. Look like they got it going on the outside. You know, might even be in corporate America, you know, all this in their church or whatever the case is. But inside, they're broken up. That's why they're still drinking secretly. That's why they're still on
yeah.
drugs secretly. That's why they're still promiscuous because they don't know that God can truly bring them out the same way he did us. But guess what?
Yeah.
It's just begun.
Just begun.
But
freedom is there. Freedom
yes.
is there for the taking, and I'm on the war path because it's like, mm-mm.
And
I
who
fought hard in my
free,
sin.
Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He don't want
yes.
us to, if you go and look in the Bible and look when Jesus healed some of them people, he said, now go, some people he said don't say nothing, but some people he said, now go and show yourself to the priest. Go and show yourself
yes.
to someone. Go and show yourself and let them see what happened. Okay. Whatever God do is going, look, he want us to let people know that he's still a healer, he's still a deliverer, and the same God that set us free will set you free if you want to be.
Yes.
If you want to be, fear keeps a lot of people from being free, Tamika. Fear keeps a lot of people from letting go. Okay, and I can say that because I dealt with fear for a long time. Well, what they're going to say, and forget about what they're going to say. You want to be free? You want a sound mind? You want to be delivered? You want to be able to praise God without any hindrances? You want to stop turning to that bottle? You want to stop turning to that man or to that woman thinking that that's where your life is? Your life is in Christ. But Satan wants people to be bound and don't know that they can be delivered. He don't want people to know that they can be set free. He want people to still be walking around drunk. I was talking to a lady today, and she was telling me, oh, you know, pray for me because I keep going back to taking these drinks. You know, I keep doing this. Your life ain't in that liquor. Your life is in Christ.
Right.
It's not in that liquor. But as long as Satan, you know, have, oh, well, just go ahead and drink it. It'll make you feel better. And this person, it ain't make her feel no better. And she felt worse after she drank it. And that's what he wants to do, keep you in bondage.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he wants us to stay quiet so the people can stay in bondage. But he's a liar today.
Yes.
He tried to stop this broadcast tonight too, right, Felicia?
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen.
He tried to stop this broadcast tonight. And
well,
I'm happy that we have the broadcast. He tried to stop the broadcast tonight. I'm trying to tell you. I'm not even playing. I'm not playing. We have another call on the line, but Tamika, stay on the line, please. We have another call. Area code 267.
Hello.
Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. That's my sister.
You know it's me. Don't play.
You got a testimony, girl.
Always playing. Get on my nerves.
See, this
is my sister. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Shirley.
Hey.
Yeah, I've been through some things too. Yeah, I tried to kill myself before. Mm-hmm. I've been there and been molested and all that too. All kind of stuff like that. Wondering what was wrong with me. But I don't know. I don't know how I came through it. But yeah. You know, I felt unwanted sometimes, at times, too. Thought something was wrong with me. But, I don't know how I did it. I guess it was God, because I just kept on going.
Well, we know it was God. We know it was God.
I don't know how I did it.
We know. Somebody was on the line and they hung up. I was going to get them on, but they hung up. But we know that it was God that brought you through that, through the suicide attempts. You're not dead.
No, I'm not.
You're not dead.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was drinking every day. In the bars, you know, going to. Seeing, all right, I wasn't that promiscuous, but yeah, I was promiscuous too. So. I was out there doing whatever.
And then what made you stop?
I got tired.
Mm-hmm.
I just got tired. I just decided to change. I needed to change something, do something different. That wasn't it. So I don't know.
Where's your life at today?
Where is it at today? As far as what?
As far as everything, like, are you healed from the molestation? You know, have you forgiven whoever did that? You know.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. I'm healed. That's all. I am healed. Yeah. And look how I got over. Okay, yeah, they work. Those songs work for me, too.
I'm going to play that song for you, too. I really am. I'm going to play it for
how
you.
I got over.
Yes, because I have it right here. Somebody else was just on the line, but they hung up. I hope they call back.
I hope they call back, too.
Yeah. I really thank God for, you know, delivering all of us, because all of us have similar stories. But what we want to do is we want people to really understand that, guess what? If God brought out Shirley, if God brought out Tamika, if God brought out Felicia, and God brought out Teresa, all these names got similar sounding at the end of their name, right? God brought us all out. He will do the same thing for you. You just got to trust him and believe him and allow the process. The process might not even be what you want it to be or how you think it's going to be, but allow the process to heal you. God will heal you. I hear that allow the process in the back. I don't know what that is.
Hello?
Hello?
So I'm going to play this How I Got Over song for my sister real quick, and hopefully we can get somebody, that person that called back, maybe they'll call back in. But if you guys know anybody that need to give a testimony or need to hear this word on tonight, have them call in while this song is playing, okay? I hope this is the right song.
You know, back in the day when we used to have testimony service, my mama would stand up on her feet and she'd throw her head back and sing songs like this. She said, how I got over, how I got over, my soul. Brought me through great trials and finally healed me. So Since I love to keep young people around me, my 21-year-old nephew, Tim Bowman Jr., he's going to show us how to sing it in the 21st century. Jimmy, how would you say
it? I said, "Scamp, scamp, do that, how I made it over. Scamp, scamp, do that, how I made it over. Scamp, scamp, do that, how I made it over. Scamp, scamp, do that, how I made it over. How many scamp, scamp, do that, how I made it over.
Scamp, scamp, do that, how I made it over.
That's how I made it.
Hello, praise the Lord. I'm trying to do two things at one time. I'm trying to talk to people on the other phone too. But this is my one of my sister's favorite song, How I Got Over. And, you know, that just makes me want to just jump up and start dancing, because guess what? We truly got a testimony. Sometimes when I look back over my life and I be like, Lord, how did you get me through that? How did you get me through that? Because I was, ooh, Lord have mercy, hateful, crazy, and everything else. But God delivered me. Hallelujah. And 659 is back on the line. Let me see if I can get them on the air. Hold on, you guys.
Hello?
Hello, 659?
Yes.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast. This is Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. You have a testimony?
Well, I just wanted to say that I'm experiencing the things that, like all of you are talking about just now, and I'm still experiencing it now, so, yeah. My testimony is that I'm strong in God. That's all I can say.
Amen, that you're strong in God. Amen. So
Amen.
We're glad that you called in tonight. I don't know if you want to, you know, talk any more about it, because you said you're experiencing now what we went through.
Yes, and I'm still going through it now.
Okay, which part, if you don't mind saying?
It's not convenient for me to say it because I'm under oppression. I'm under attack physically, emotionally, spiritually, and everything.
Wow. Okay. Well, do you mind if we pray with you and for you?
Yes, but I really have to go because my phone is like, it's a prepaid card and there's only $2 left, so I really cannot stay on hold on for long, but when you pray, I can listen. I'm on a computer.
Okay. What is your first name, if you can tell us?
Ophelia.
Ophelia?
Mm-hmm. I knew it. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Okay. From Jesus in the Morning?
Yes.
All right. We're going to definitely pray for you, Ophelia. So go ahead and hang up because I know how those minute things work. Go ahead and hang up, but we're going to pray for you, Ophelia.
Okay, thank you, Spike.
All right. You know, the Lord has been showing me some things about demonic oppression. And the enemy is crazy. And we give no glory to the enemy. Let me say this. We give no glory to Satan, we give no glory to the fallen angels. But what we want to say is this. When God is trying to deliver us, we need to let God deliver us. We need to stop going back to the thing, to the familiar thing. Satan likes to take us back to the familiar, Felicia.
The familiar, yes.
God gets us to a place, and then here comes Satan to take you back to the familiar place. And what we have to do, and I'm talking from experience because God has tried to deliver me several times. And when I got scared or I didn't understand something, I went back to the familiar place. And that's not what God wants for us. And Ophelia, I really believe in my spirit that it's time for your total, complete deliverance. I really believe that it's time for you to surrender completely to God. See, what we have to do is we have to really get into the Word of God, and we really have to pray, and we have to seek God like nothing. We have to seek God like our very life depends on it. It doesn't matter who's around it, don't like it, don't care. We got to seek God like our very life depends on it. You know why? Because our very life does depend on it. We have to seek God and allow him to deliver us. Let me tell you, demonic oppression is real. There is, when Satan got kicked, when Lucifer got kicked out of heaven, he was not stripped of his power. Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power over the enemy." So if he gives you power over the enemy, that means the enemy must have power. Okay? If you look in the book of Acts, where you look at the seven sons of Sceva, how they were, you know, trying to do the Jesus thing and trying to use Jesus' name and didn't really know who Jesus was, but they were trying to use it, and them demons tore their butts up. Okay? Beat them up, rip their clothes off, send them out running down the street. Okay? What I want you to do, Ophelia, is totally surrender to God. Ask God to show you every door that's open that's allowing this demonic oppression to come back. Because this is a very frequent occasion for you, if I can say that. And it's time for the doors to be shut to the enemy. If you really, really, really belong to God, and I believe you do, you have power over the enemy, but you have to exercise that power over the enemy. You have to utilize that power that God has given you. And every time Satan comes, you have to rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus. You can't do it in Ophelia's name. You can't do it in anybody else's name. You have to do it in the name of Jesus. And you have to do whatever he tells you to do. And whatever he tells you to stop doing, you have to stop doing. We can't give place to the devil. We got to draw nigh to God. But for some reason or other, the demonic attacks keep coming to you, but you got to ask God to show me what is it that's allowing this to keep coming back. I don't know if you're dipping in witchcraft. I don't know if you're dealing with, you know, Ouija boards or stuff like that. I'm talking about, you know, horoscopes and dealing with, what do you call them, people, psychics and all of that stuff. Whatever area is open, it has to be shut.
Yes.
It has to be. We can't be in God 1 second and the next minute we're playing with the devil. We got to make up our minds. It's going to be God, and whatever it takes for our deliverance, that's what we're going to take for our deliverance. You get that word and begin to speak the word of God over your life. I am a child of God. Satan, I do not belong to you anymore. I am a child of God in the name of Jesus. I have a new mind. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. I am covered by the blood of Jesus. If you got to say that 50 times a day, you say that 50 times a day. Go into praise. Go into worship. Begin to fight in the spirit, because this is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle. And if you don't get control over this thing through the Spirit of God, he's going to take you out of here. Because every time you turn around, he's back oppressing you. Tell the devil that you have the mind of Christ, that you have a new mind. You will not be oppressed in your mind anymore in the name of Jesus. And that's why I like we're doing the study on the battlefield of the mind. Because the battle is in the spirit, but it's in the mind. The enemy will come in and talk to you and make you think you're crazy. And you have to begin to tell the devil, you are a liar, Satan. You are the father of lies. I am no longer controlled by you in the name of Jesus. You got to begin to speak this thing. You got to be able to take authority over this devil, because if you don't, he will have you graveyard dead. And if you're not graveyard dead, he will have you sick. You will be depressed. You will be all kind of stuff. But you have to, I repeat, you have to take authority over the devil. You got to, Jesus gave you authority, Ophelia. If you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you believe he is the Son of God, if you have given your life to him and you have confessed him and you are born again, you have power over the enemy. But you got to speak that thing and stop running to people all the time looking for people to speak this over your life when you have the power right in your mouth. You have the power in your mouth to stop this. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. You have authority over Satan, Ophelia. Take that authority over Satan in the name of Jesus. You use your mouth to do it. You don't have
Hallelujah.
To keep running to this person and that person. Open your mouth and begin to speak the word of God over your life. I mean, Felicia?
Yes.
Are you, is what I'm saying correct?
Absolutely. Amen.
Because seriously, Satan messes with the body of Christ so much, he messes with people in the body because we turn tail and we run. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Not you flee from him, he'll flee from you. That's what the word of God says. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power. Ophelia,
mm-hmm.
take your power and utilize your power.
Yes.
Make sure that you're not playing with the devil. Make sure you're not in and out with the devil. Make sure you're not doing anything that's causing Satan to come in that way. Make sure, you know, whatever gate you got open, that you close that gate, that spiritual gate, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Because let me tell you something. We can't do the psychic thing and the Ouija board and the, you know, all this. We can't do that. Even running to this prophet and that prophet, you got the Spirit of God inside of you. You rely on the Spirit of God and begin to speak that word of God and begin to pray. Go and pray in the Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to pray in the Spirit. You got your help right there. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to utilize that. You got to utilize that power because Satan wants to come. The Bible says he comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. And that's what he wants for you. We're going to pray for her right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just lift up Ophelia to you, Lord God. And Father, you know what Ophelia needs. God, you know what's causing this demonic attacks to keep coming against her mind. But God, I speak that Ophelia has a sound mind tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for her mind. I bind every demonic oppression in the name of Jesus. God, I speak to Ophelia's mind, oh God, and I just bind and rebuke confusion in Jesus' name. I bind and rebuke confusion in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of torment in the name of Jesus. Lord, this tormenting spirit that's coming to her quite often, God. Father, I ask you to deliver her from that spirit, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, whatever this oppression is that keeps coming, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to cover this woman with your blood. And with the blood of Jesus, oh, God, please, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, it's not your will that she be oppressed. It's not your will that she be depressed. It's not your will that she keeps going through this thing in her mind, oh, God. But, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we speak a sound mind to Ophelia today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we say, God, no weapon formed against her shall prosper. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Those of y'all that know how to pray, pray for Ophelia, please. Please pray for mm-hmm. Ophelia. Please pray for Ophelia. Because the enemy desires to sift her as wheat. He's just constantly bothering her. constantly, but pray for Ophelia, that Ophelia would to tap into the power of God herself, that she will begin to allow God to just move in her and minister in her and hear what he's saying and then obey what he's saying. Obey what he's saying.
Hello?
Yes.
Can I encourage her?
Definitely.
I've been where you are, and the mere fact that you called in and you said, you know, you wanted to share, but and you were afraid, it sounds like, to say what you're dealing with. But the way that you will overcome that fear is by exposing it. Now, you can't give it all at the same time. God will share with you, you know, what you can say and when you're in that secret time with him. But I just want to let you know, because I had went through a whole lot, and it was a whole lot, you have a purpose in God. You really matter to God. And the enemy wouldn't keep attacking you if you didn't have something that God wants to share with others. When you keep it in secrecy, you don't have to share it with everybody, but when you keep those things hidden, that gives the enemy more fuel to work on. He'll keep using those same things to make you feel ashamed, make you feel like you don't matter, make you feel like you're never going to come out. But I declare, and I declare right now that you will come out. You will come out. You will. I don't care how many times you fall, get back up. You might fall tomorrow, get back up tomorrow. It's that simple. You have to keep fighting. Like if you were on a race, track and field, and you were running and you fell, and the enemy would put in your mind, well, I can't make it, and look at everybody's looking at me, and I'm just a failure and a success. But no, get back up, and then the crowd begins to cheer for you. You have a team and a host of angels are always cheering and rooting you on. You're on a winning team. I'm not just telling you, just talking just to talk. I've been at a place where I couldn't get back up. Fill your home with the presence of God. Put your praise and worship on if you can't read. Fill your home with something that shines the light of God, and he will begin to peel that darkness. Can't stay where God is.
It cannot.
The darkness cannot stay where God is. If you only can put on wherever you are on your if you can only put on praise and worship, that's enough for right now. That'll break the atmosphere. It will. Trust me. I've had sisters that I've dealt with that are mentally bound and paranoid schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
I've had them deal with all kind of things, and I watched that thing play out, and it almost made me afraid. Like, oh my God, if I pray for them, it might jump off on me. I wish it would. Y'all come if you like. I will keep on praying. Keep on praying, because the God that is in you is greater than any other thing that may try to come and tear you down.
Yes.
Listen
and Tamika,
for the voice
let me, Ophelia, I hope you're still listening, but let me share this with y'all too. At one point in time, I was in a mental hospital. After my husband came and, you know, we got divorced, and he was awarded custody of my children through some, that's a whole other story. We'll talk about that another day. But he came and picked up my children 2 days before he was supposed to. I wasn't home when that happened. It was a whole bunch of trickery stuff going on with this other person and stuff. Anyway,
Fly, right. You're
out in the cold. Whose TV is that? Long story short, I wound up in a mental hospital because when he came and took my children out of school, and when I got home, I realized he had taken them. I was supposed to have met him somewhere and then, you know, let him take the children that way, but he came and took them early. So I lost my mind, lack of a better way to say it. The enemy came in and oppressed me. I tried to kill myself. I walked in the street. I wanted cars to hit me. Of course, God didn't allow any car to hit me. I went to the some doctor. I don't even know how I got at this doctor's office. I don't even ever remember being at this doctor. But I got there. What noise that is. Can y'all put that on mute, please? When I got to the doctor, I began to sit there and tell the lady, you know, well, he took my kids. She said, well, do you feel like you want to hurt yourself? I said, yeah. She said, you feel like you want to hurt other people? I said, yeah, I want to hurt anybody right now. So she said, sit right here. And I knew when she left she was going to call the police. So she went and called the police on me. They shackled me. Do you hear me, Tamika?
Yes.
They shackled me with, like, I was this major criminal, like I did something to somebody. I just threatened. I didn't do anything. So anyway, they took me to jail, put me in a cell. I threw myself against the wall. Let me say it this way. These demons were throwing me up against the wall, trying to make me kill myself. Do y'all hear me?
Yes.
Throwing me up against the wall in the cell. The only thing that was in the cell was a stainless steel toilet and a sink. And I was doing everything. Those demons were doing everything they could to make me harm myself. When the people in the jail saw what was going on, they shackled me again and took me to San Bernardino Hospital in California, to the mental hospital. When I got there, they had me sign in. And as I bent over to sign in, they stuck me in my behind with a needle. And it was that psychotic medicine that make you loopy, make you cuckoo, okay? So not only did I have the demon that was trying to make me thrust myself against the wall to kill myself, now I had these medically induced demons, okay, trying to make me hurt myself. I'm walking around in this place crazy, out of my mind. It felt like it was two people. It felt like it was Teresa who had a right mind, and it was the other Teresa that was crazy that was dealing with these other demons. Do you hear me? Walking around, talking to myself, laughing to myself, just looking at other people. I'm like, why am I here? They crazy. I'm not supposed to be here. But I was in there acting just like them. But one day somebody came by with the word of God. This priest came through with the word of God in the New Testament. And I promise you, this is no lie. When I opened up that New Testament, the words of the Bible opened up to the scripture that says, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Praise
God. Thou art loosed, woman. And the words lifted up off the page. I lie not to you. They jumped off the page in my face as I sat on that bed. And I tell you, right then, I said, I don't belong here. I'm getting out of here. I went to the administrators and asked them, could I leave? They was like, no, you can't leave. I said, I don't belong here. I am a child of God. Do you know they had a meeting and they let me go?
Wow.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Do you know they had a meeting and let me go? I was in a bona fide ninth floor, padded room, all that in this mental hospital. Okay? But God delivered me. He delivered me. I knew I didn't belong there. Just like you said earlier, Tamika, like you was in the Narnia or whatever that thing was.
Yes.
It was like it was two of me. It was this story that was being played in front of my face. But it was a spiritual battle going on. My natural man and my spirit man were fighting. It was like my natural man and my spirit man and these demons. All of this fighting was going on. And I was helpless. Did you hear me? I was helpless. But because I belong to God, he sent help. He sent the word, and he healed me. God sent his word, and he healed. Do you hear me? He sent his word, and he delivered me. And I was able to tell them, people, I don't belong here, and they let me go. Okay? Did I still have some battles to deal with after that? Yes, I did. Do I still have battles to deal with? Yes, I do. Why? Because the devil is real. And if he think he can get me back, he's going to try everything he can to get me back.
Yes.
But I stand on the word of God. I stand on the word of God. Do you hear me? I hope you hear me, Ophelia. I stand on the word of God. Satan tries every time he can to try to get me. He tries to depress me. He tries to oppress me. He tries to make me feel bad about my kids. He tries to make me feel bad about myself as a woman. He tries to bring up stuff from my past. But I'm covered by the blood of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And I have to declare it out of my own mouth. I have to stand up and fight my own self. And I have to say, look, even in times when I don't feel like I'm strong enough to do it, even if I have to say it in my mind, I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. I'm delivered. I'm set free in the name of Jesus. I have to do that. Sometimes I'm laying in my bed and Satan will come and oppress me in my bed. He tries to suffocate me in my bed. He tries to pull me out of my bed. He tries to hold me down as if I'm being raped again. I don't know if any of y'all have experienced that, but that still happens. Mm-hmm. And all I can do is cry out, Jesus. And when I cry out, Jesus, that demon leaves. Because if you give him a foothold and you keep acting like you're scared, he's gonna take you out. He tries to do it even now. I've talked to other people. They say they go through the same thing. It's a demon.
Yes.
And you got to ask God to help you. God, help me to fight. God, teach me how to fight this thing in the spirit. And he will. But you got to get, you know how you get mad at people when they make you mad? Oh, no, this is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle. And Satan wants to win. But you have power, Ophelia. And now you got people praying with you and for you, because we will pray with you and we will pray for you continuously. But we speak peace in your mind in the name of Jesus and begin to use your mouth up with the word of God. Use the word. It's life in the word. It's life. It's power in the word of God. I can tell you only that what I know. When I tell you I was psyched out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But God helped me. The word of God came up out. If I hadn't opened up that New Testament, I might still be in that loony bin right now. I don't know. But God sent his word and healed me. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
he sent his word and delivered me. For something that Satan meant to kill me. Do you hear me?
Yes.
I know who I'm serving. I know who I'm serving. If it hadn't been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be right now. But God, the same God that delivered me from out of that hospital, and when I tell you, when you go in a mental hospital, they don't just give you one pill.
All right,
okay? They give you multiple pills, and they keep you in there. Underneath that sedation, because they don't want you to go crazy. But see, you belong to God, Ophelia. You belong to the Most High God. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I too know what it feels like to come up from out of that demonic oppression. I know what it feels like. That's why I can talk to you like that, because I've been there. But I had to fight my way out. I'm not talking about that incident at the hospital. There's been time, I'm telling you, laying in my bed where I had to fight spiritually. And when I couldn't do nothing but say, Jesus. You hear me? Jesus.
Yeah.
Call on his name. And he brought me out. He brought me out. Over and over again, he brought me out. Over and over again, he brought me out. Every time Satan thought he had me. I mean, there's been times where I've been here and I've been here and I haven't talked to my husband for 3 days. Stayed locked up in my room, depressed, sad, not understanding what was going on, and allowing Satan to oppress me. But then, Lord have mercy, when I got in my right mind and turned that music on, turned that praise and worship music on, and my flesh didn't want to do it because my flesh was mad, and I had to say, you know what, I can't do this no more. Why am I turning my back on God? Get that praise music on and begin to make myself praise God.
Yes, God.
Through came. Till the breakthrough came. Put on that praise and worship music if you don't know what to sing. Go to YouTube and find some gospel, some worship music, something that's going to lift you up out of that. Cause let me tell you something. If you read in the book of, I don't know which book in the Old Testament it is, but if you look at King Saul, every time King Saul had one of them demonic attacks, David played the harp. Come on now. Get that music on and begin to worship God. If you can't get to the music, you get somewhere where you can just begin to cry out, Jesus. I'm trying to tell you, he will deliver you. He will deliver you. He will deliver you. And just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the devil, after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible said he was hungry, here comes Satan, if you be the Son of God. He knew who he was. If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. If you be the Son of God, bow down and worship me. I'll give you all of this. Know who you are in God. Know who you are. Know that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. And tell Satan, no, you're not going to keep violating me. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
I'm telling you something I lived. I'm not telling you something I heard in the storybook. I'm telling you something I lived. I'm 48 years old, and I'm telling you, I've been through some hell in my life, but God brought me through every chapter of hell that I went through. Every chapter for such a time as what? For such a time as this. And some of the stuff, yes, I did to myself, but some of the stuff was just straight up demonic oppression, straight up sent to kill me. But see, I got to know who I know. People say it's not what you know, it's who you know. Ha! You better know who you know and know that you know him for real. Because just as sure as God is real, the enemy is real. The enemy
is.
He wants every one of us to go to hell. He wants every one of us to go to the lake of fire. He don't want none of us to have everlasting life with God, the Father. He don't want that. But we got to know our rights. We got to know our place in God. And we got to be able to stand against. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why he says, Paul says, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. And when you've done all to stand with your loins girded about with truth, with the helmet of salvation, with the breastplate of righteousness, with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Stand with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit. These are things that we got to do. Pray in the Spirit. He gave us weapons. We got to use our weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself.
Everything, yes.
And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't let the devil tell you defeated. Tell him he's defeated. You're the one that's defeated. I'm victorious in the name of Jesus. I'm delivered in the name of Jesus. Cast down those imaginations when they come. Cast them down in the name of Jesus. See, there's things that we got to do too. Hello? There's things we got to do too. He's given us. Oh. Glory to God. I'm sorry, y'all. But
no, don't apologize. Speak that word.
Let me tell you something.
Amen.
I know from whence I came. Okay?
Amen.
I know for, and I know firsthand how the enemy will try to come in and mess with you like that and oppress you and have you scared to even say the name of Jesus. Have you scared to say the name of Jesus? How that sound?
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, honey. I'll be calling Jesus for everything. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Call it for no reason. Just, hey, Jesus. it might sound crazy, but, hey, you got to do it.
We got to do it. Let me tell you something. My husband, he was born with cerebral palsy, and I'm telling you, we only got 3 minutes left, but we're going to do this again next week, Lord willing, on Wednesday, like we were supposed to do this week. But he has an awesome testimony about how God has delivered him. And even though he has not received a physical healing from cerebral palsy, that he's healed.
Amen.
People look at you, if you don't have a physical manifestation of healing, people will look at you and say that you're not healed. Oh, well, he's healed. He's healed.
I hear that.
Hey, the man is healed.
Mm-hmm.
Free in his mind. Let me tell you something. A lot of this stuff that we go through starts right where? In our mind.
In our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right in our mind. Okay, I don't care what nobody say. God gave that battlefield of the mind thing to Joyce Meyer. That was anointed by
God. Oh, God,
Okay.
Yeah. And they have the one for the teens.
Yes, and we just ordered that one. Let me tell you something. That book is anointed by God. God's word is anointed above all things, but she uses the word of God in here. She tells her experiences of the things that she's going through. But the battle is that we got to begin to train our minds to speak the word of God. Even if we don't say it out of our mouths all the time, we got to train our minds to begin to say the word of God, okay, in our minds. Think about what we're thinking about. What exactly are we thinking about? You know, begin to meditate. The Bible tells us clearly, meditate on the word day and night. Meditate on the word day and night. I mean, she just reading the Bible, so she's not rewriting the Bible. It's already there.
Already there.
Mm-hmm.
We have to apply the word of God.
Hallelujah.
That's what we gotta do. We need to do what the word of God says. Speak life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word is life in there. But we gotta be able to, we stop being so lazy. And depending on other people, wait until we go to church so the pastor can preach the word. Wait until the people can come on TV so they can preach the word. Pick up your Bible and read your word.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Pick up the word and begin to speak the word of God out of your mouth so you can hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it so your faith can increase.
Yes.
The Bible tells us that he said, I gave you power over the enemy. You're supposed to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You're supposed to speak to demons and they're supposed to flee.
Right.
That's what we're supposed to do. But we're lazy.
Or fearful.
Fearful and or lazy. Look, we can make it off in 10 seconds. Y'all can stay on the phone if you want to because we're still on the phone. But the chat room, unfortunately, y'all going to be cut off.
Okay, well, I will see you next week.
God willing, we'll be here next
night.
Thank you for everybody for joining us on tonight. And I usually play that song called Tomorrow, but tonight, just because of my sister, I'm going to go ahead and play her song again because, well, okay, I was going to say this, you're not going to let me back in the studio, but I'm going to go ahead and play that. Nobody.
You know, back in the day when we used to have testimony service, my mama would stand up on her feet and she'd throw her head back and sing songs like this. She said, how I got a hold.